Good morning, church. Good morning, Evangel. Great to see you this morning. Welcome to all those who are with us and, of course, those who are joining online. Would you stand with me? We're going to lift up our praise to the one for all who he is and for all that he's done this morning. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is higher than any other. And you believe that this morning? All right, let's sing it out this morning. In water you turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. All together, our God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God, yeah. Water you turn, in water you turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. Not like you. And into the darkness you shine. And out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, Lord, none like you, yeah, say. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, sing it out. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And if our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? Sing it out. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand again? Oh, then what can stand against? Oh. Our God is great. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, sing. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger than any other. Our God is healer, stronger in power. Oh, our God, and if our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can, one more time, say, And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand? 'Cause our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are. Our God is a healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God, one more time, we say, our God is greater, our God is stronger than any other. Our God is great, you're awesome in power, our God. Now, God, yes, you are our God. You are our God. You are our God in the midst of us. You reign. You are powerful. This is our God. This is our King. For you reign above all things. You reign above all things. This is our God. And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's make that our prayer this morning.
And open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Jesus. And open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, and pour out your power and lend love. As we sing, holy, 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 I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh Lord, open and open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy. To say, to see you high and lifted up, Lord, shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. I want to see, I want to see you, Lord. We want to see you, Lord.
Holy
and holy, holy, holy,
You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Sing holy, 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 holy. You are holy, holy, holy. And holy, 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 I want to see. Sing one more time. Holy is, sing holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. And I want to see. Holy, holy, and holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Yes, you are. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you high, to see you high. Shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Just say, see you high. Shining in the light of your glory. And pour out your power in love as we sing holy, holy. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. You're holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. I want to see. You are holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. And holy, holy, holy. And I want to see you. To see you. To see you, to see you.
Amen. Amen. How many of us can make it our prayer this morning that we want to see God? That we want to see Him move in our lives and the lives of our family? How good is it to be here this morning worshiping Him? Why don't you turn and greet someone, welcome them to church, then you can find your way to your seat this morning. Amen. You can be seated. Well, just a few very quick announcements. This week, this Saturday, is our final youth and young adults event of the summer. We are going to go to Wonderland on Saturday, August 26th. It's going to be an amazing day together. Sign-up is now closed for the event because we are carpooling. We have limited rides available, so sign-up has been closed for that, but we are excited to wrap up our summer with our youth and young adults in that way. However, it's kind of weird for me to start announcing fall events, but here we are announcing our fall youth kickoff on September 7th, Thursday, September 7th. So students grade 6 to grade 12, we will be meeting for our fall kickoff that day. It's going to be an amazing amount of fun. I know it's hard to look at the calendar and see we're almost maybe two to three weeks away from September, but you know, here we are, so might as well make the most of it. So September 7th is our youth fall kickoff. At this point in time, if you have kids ages 0 to 4, the nursery is available just down the stairs, staffed by volunteers. They can watch your kids anytime throughout this service. And kids grade 1 to grade 4, grade 5, grade 1 to grade 5, you can go down and meet your volunteers for Kids Church at this time. Ushers, I'd like to invite you forth to take up the morning's tithes and offerings. If you want, you can also give online. We have an e-transfer option available that you can make use of. So ushers, you can come forward at this time, and I'll turn it back to Jono this morning to continue leading us in worship.
give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Yes, you do, Lord. Great are you, Lord. And oh, great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. And we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath. Our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Yes, you are, Father. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, let's all stand together. You give life.
Give life. You are love. You bring light into the darkness. You give hope. Restore every heart that is broken. Yeah. Great are you, Lord. We sing, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Yeah, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all. Sing again. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Yes, and great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Now hearts will cry, great are you, Lord.
All the earth.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord.
Come on, with one voice, we'll sing.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones are gonna sing, great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath. in our lungs today. So we pour out our praise to you only, Lord. Great. Oh, we sing great. Sing great, are you, Lord. Sing all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones are gonna sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath. Pour out our praise. It's your in our lungs. So weep to you on. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs, yeah. So we to you only. Great are you, Lord. Singing great are you, Lord.
Come on, let's dance. Declare that with one voice. Sing great.
Singing great are you, Lord.
Over your church and over this community, we sing great.
Oh, great are you, Lord.
Over this nation, we sing. Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord.
Above all powers, above all thrones,
singing great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great is your name. Great is your name. God, you are worthy. Great are you, Lord.
It's your breath.
It's your breath. You know. To you all,
one more time.
It's your breath in our lungs. Pour out our praises in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you. Singing great. Singing great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. And all our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry. And everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace.
And oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. And oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
What if have we trials?
And have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? And we should never be discouraged. We take it to the Lord in prayer.
Can we find?
Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share?
Jesus knows.
And Jesus knows our every weakness. We take it to the Lord in prayer. And what a friend we have in Jesus.
All our sin.
And all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. And everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace.
And oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. And oh, because we do not care. And everything to God in prayer. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, He will surely work it out. Oh, leave your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there.
Come on, sing with me together.
Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave your burdens. Leave your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, and He will surely work it out. Your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Leave your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. And if you trust and never doubt, He will surely work it out. Leave your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there.
Come on, tell someone near you. Leave it there. Leave your burdens to the Lord. Leave it there.
We sing. And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry. We think to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Greatness of the Lord. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Purify and purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refine and refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you. Ready to do your will. Purify my heart and purify my heart. Cleanse me from within and make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, oh, and refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be, and it's to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be, yeah, and holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. I am ready. Just your voice, refine as fire. And refine as fire. My heart's one. Come on, let him hear you this morning. And is to and holy, set apart for you, Lord. And I choose to holy set up for you. I'm ready to do your will. ready to do your will. I am ready to. I am ready to do your will. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm no longer a slave to fear. No. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, no. Oh, I am a child of God. La, la, la. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear, no. Oh, I am a child. Daughters, let us sing our freedom. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no child of God. of God.
Our scripture this morning is found in Psalm chapter 51. We'll be reading just verses 1 to 10. It says, "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stains of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me." Thank you. You may be seated this morning. I can truly say that I've been blessed in my life to have a group of really good people that I can call my friends. Sure, throughout my life there have been friends I have lost, friends I have had conflict with, and friends that would try to take advantage of my friendship with them. And I'm sure many of us have had similar experiences growing up. But I'm at an age now where thankfully I can understand what is required to have a friendship that grows and flourishes in a healthy way for both people. And one of those things that is often required for a healthy friendship is forgiveness. Forgiveness is such an integral part of maintaining a strong friendship. Why? Because we mess up. We make mistakes. And without forgiveness, that friendship would ultimately fall apart. For example, and as cheesy as it sounds, my best friend is my wife. Right? We have always valued the friendship we have with one another within our relationship. And in those moments where we do argue or we do have conflict and she hasn't yet admitted that I'm right. She's downstairs this morning, but she has read this, so she knows. She knows I'm saying this. But we have a question that one person will ask the other that kind of makes the way for us to forgive one another and move past whatever topic our argument is about. And knowing Esther and I, it's always about the laundry. Like, neither of us like to do it. And so that question that we ask is, still friends? Because we know and we have prioritized our friendship to the point that no matter what may happen, we will always make room to forgive one another. Friendships can't last without the capacity to forgive and forget, essentially. Are there serious concerns that can happen between two people that break that friendship to a point beyond repair? Absolutely, that happens. But if the friendship is sincere, I believe forgiveness is an integral part of maintaining that friendship for a lifetime. Today, I'm excited to continue our summer series that we've titled Summer in the Psalms. And what we've been doing with this series is taking a look at some of the essential themes in various chapters of the book of Psalms, and we are looking at these chapters individually as we consider their importance for our church, for our lives, and our community today. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Shannon spoke a message from Psalm chapter 32, which, if you were here for that, you may have experienced a little deja vu while reading this morning's text because of the similarity in the words that David is writing. And that's kind of on purpose, as this chapter, as well as Psalm 32, are called the penitential psalms. And then there's more within that genre. The penitential psalms are called that because the author is showing remorse for their sin. The author is penitent. David is fully remorseful for his sin and for his actions, but it also reveals something extraordinary about the authentic nature of his words here and what we know to be true about God's response to David's sin. And so there are very familiar wordings and similar themes shared between our chapter today and the one from 2 weeks ago. However, for the sake of not sharing the same message with a different coat of paint, I wanted to look at this chapter from a different direction that still continues the theme of forgiveness introduced in the message on Psalm 32, but emphasizes the theme of friendship with God and how that ties into both David's story of redemption and our own. In my own personal study and devotions, I've been noticing more and more the idea of friendship with God, and it's such a beautiful theme that is spoken actually throughout Scripture, but I feel is so underemphasized, because how could we possibly be friends with someone as big and as unfathomable as God, right? I feel that some of us don't use that term to describe our relationship with God out of fear that it lessens the impact of what it means to have a loving Heavenly Father. But it's true. In the book of John, for example, Jesus actually calls us his friends. And it's that theme that we can actually find interwoven throughout our text today, working alongside the idea of forgiveness in the midst of our sin. So if you're taking notes this morning, what we can find in this passage is that God is the great forgiver and will always take us back to that place of close friendship and fellowship with him. What's really interesting to me in the comparison between Psalm 32, which was discussed 2 weeks ago, and Psalm 51 today is that they actually seem to be in the wrong order, right? Psalm 32 is a chapter where it seems like it was written after David had already confessed his sin. In that chapter, he uses words in the past tense, like when I confessed or when I stopped, and is using his newfound sense of renewal to share of the importance for believers to confess their sins and find renewal as well, instead of trying to hide it. Whereas 19 chapters later in the book, we are now getting David's prayer and plea for repentance because of his guilt and his shame over his actions. And I find it so interesting to know this morning that even though this chapter we are diving into is very heavy-hearted because of the topic of sin and the weight of David's guilt over his sin, we know of the joy and the happiness that David will have in finding renewal and forgiveness in God over confessing his sin. And so our first point this morning is path to restoration. We only read the first 10 verses this morning of Psalm 51, but the chapter records David's brokenness over his sin. And I'm sure we are all familiar with the sin which caused this writing. Before the chapter even begins, it tells us that this psalm is regarding the time that the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And after Nathan revealed David's sin to him, his spirit was crushed to think that he had done something so completely twisted against another human being. He had used his power and his royal privilege to take advantage of another person, and he added on to that by killing an innocent man to hide any and all evidence of his actions. If I were writing David's story, or if any of us were writing David's story, I'm sure we could admit that we probably would have ended it right there. From a human perspective, David's actions are too depraved and too far for him to ever find forgiveness, and yet God had a different plan for him. And we can see in our text this morning the kind of repentant heart that David had. In verse 3, David describes the burden of the guilt of his sins which he has been carrying. David says, "For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night." David speaks of the great pain that people carry within themselves when they do things that are grievous errors, grievous mistakes. In those moments, your conscience doesn't let you go. The error, it rests in your mind. It keeps you up at night. It's the kind of guilt and shame that David is carrying because of his great sin. It's the kind of guilt and shame over our actions that can cause us to think that we can't be further away from our relationship with God, or that we can't ever find forgiveness again. It creates a barrier, a distance between us and God that disturbs our sense of fellowship and friendship with God. It reminds me of a moment when I was a child. I must have been 10 years old. And on my street where I lived growing up lived my best friend right across from my house. We grew up together. We played together almost every day, from playing road hockey until the sun was long down to playing with our toy lightsabers, recreating our favorite Star Wars scenes. We did everything together. And one day I was at his house and we were playing a game of hide and seek. It was my turn to hide, and I decided to hide behind this small bookshelf that he had in his room. But that required me to move the bookshelf away from the wall in time, and on top of his bookshelf was a gift from his grandmother. Since I was in a rush, and I was a very hyperactive 10-year-old, I moved the bookshelf without thinking of what was on it, and the object fell onto the floor and broke into a million pieces. As my friend rushed back in to hear where the noise came from, his face fell and he started crying as I tried to plead for forgiveness and tell him over and over again that I was sorry. Unfortunately, my apologies didn't work, and our friendship from that point on might as well have been virtually non-existent. There was no forgiveness, and that mistake that I made disturbed the friendship that we had, and that was never fixed because of that. It was one of those childhood moments that I look back on even today and wish it could have been different. I once heard a beautiful sermon illustration that describes friendship and forgiveness, and I want to read it to you this morning. It goes like this. Two friends were walking through the desert. At a point in their journey, they had an argument, and one friend ended up hitting the other. The one who was hit was hurt, but without saying anything, wrote in the sand, "Today my best friend hit me in the face." They kept walking until they found an oasis and decided to stop for water. The one who was hit fell into the water and began to drown, but the friend saved him. After he recovered from nearly drowning, he wrote on a rock, "Today my best friend saved my life." The friend who had hit and then saved his best friend asked him, "After I hurt you, you wrote in the sand, and after I saved you, you wrote on a stone. Why?" The other friend replied, "When someone hurts us, we should write it down in the sand where winds of forgiveness can erase it away. But when someone does something good for us, we must engrave it in stone where no wind can ever erase it." Forgiveness is a big deal. We can't really have true friendship without it. We make mistakes. We hurt one another. I'm glad, though, that when we sin, God writes it in the sand where the winds of forgiveness can erase it away. And if I can take comfort in any part of David's story, it's this one. It gives me so much hope and so much joy knowing that if God could forgive David, then surely he would also forgive me for my past and the things that I do day after day that grieve his heart. And it reminds me of the hymn that we sang this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a friend we have in God who knows us, knows our past, knows our deepest, darkest moments of our lives, and yet still reaches out to us in relationship. It's the kind of love and friendship that I never want to take for granted. In this passage, David was desperate. He was desperate to be right with God again, but at the same time, he was humbled to think that he could ever be right again with a perfect, holy, powerful Savior because of what he had done. David made no excuses for his sins in his confession either. He did not think of his sin as just another simple mistake. He wasn't like, "Oops, God slept with a woman other than my wife and killed her husband to cover up the fact that she's pregnant. My bad." Right? He writes here that he is fully aware of what he has done. He viewed his sins as offenses against God. In the book of Luke, when the prodigal son returned home, he made no excuses for his waywardness. He confessed that he had sinned against heaven and before his father and was no longer worthy to be called his father's son. But the father lovingly responded by receiving his son and celebrated his return. And David here would find a similar response to his confession. How good is that? Right? To look at an account like this and to know with utter confidence that we follow a loving Savior and gracious friend whose forgiveness is so great that he would still continue to be my friend despite my sin, despite the fact that I continue to sin, and despite the fact that we continue to sin. It's a friendship that is highlighted in brokenness. It's a cry for God to take us back to that place of close friendship and fellowship with him. It's the cry of David in our passage this morning, and it should be ours as well. I know it's been mine time and time again. There have been moments of anger and disobedience when I felt further from God than I ever thought possible, and I thought there was no way back, yet every time I cried out to him, he was there. That's what friendship with God looks like. He is the God who forgives. Our second point this morning, repentance to renewal. In this portion of our text, David says something I found really interesting, and that is who he declares in verse 4 that he has sinned against. He says he has sinned against God and God alone. And when you think about it, that's kind of a weird thing to say, knowing what he has done. Like, no, David, your sin was against Bathsheba and Uriah. You committed horrible acts against them. Not only that, but you sinned against your wife and your children by violating another woman. You also sinned against your people and your kingdom, because as king, you were appointed by God to rule justly, and yet you abused your powers to do something like this. You're not wrong to be thinking something along those lines when you read this statement from David. There's certainly more to his sin and more people he had sinned against, yet all of that was brought together as he considered the greatness of his sin against God. He rightly felt as if he had sinned against God. God had clearly commanded Israel, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery." Moreover, he lied, and he coveted another man's wife. David had disobeyed God by violating all these commandments. That doesn't mean that the acts against Bathsheba and Uriah were ultimately lesser. Far from it, in fact. David is realizing that his sin is sin because it went against the heart of God for his people. The very definition of sin is an act that goes against the heart of God. And so David is speaking hyperbolically and is making the point that he recognizes his guilt and his sin grieves the heart of God. And he recognizes that any judgment for his sin would be considered just. David, in fact, prays in our passage, "You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just." In John chapter 8, there's an account of Jesus being cornered by religious teachers and Pharisees. They found a woman who was caught in adultery and brought her to Jesus, hoping to trap him into saying something they can use against him. According to their law, the woman was to be stoned to death. But Jesus has a different response and says, "Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." After the leaders left one by one, Jesus had this to say to the woman in verses 10 to 11. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." What we need to remember is that Jesus was the only one in that crowd of people without sin. The woman had broken God's law, and with what he said, Jesus qualified essentially himself to throw the first stone. And yet what we see instead is, instead of judgment against her, is mercy and grace. And so what is David saying here in verse 4? He's saying, "God, I screwed up. I know I deserve judgment for my actions, but I am appealing to your loving kindness, your friendship, and asking for mercy and grace. But you have every right to do what is good and pleasing to you." And I believe that this posture that David takes on is what it means to have true repentance. So it is at this point that David's prayer goes from one of repentance for his actions to one of asking for renewal. There's many moments throughout the Psalms where it seems as if David has knowledge of the future in some way. Not saying he does, of course. But many times he references Jesus himself. In the words he speaks now, it's almost as if he could hear the cry of God's heart through the prophet Isaiah. So David pleaded with the Lord, "Wash me and I will be whiter than snow," foreshadowing Isaiah's words in chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, which says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool." More than likely, it was simply just Isaiah referencing David here. But all this from Isaiah points towards the sacrifice that Jesus would make that would pay the price of sin for all of us, for all of his people. Every single person has flaws. Every single person has sin. David speaks as much in verse 5, how we are born into this world with sin. But there is nothing that the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus made cannot cleanse. And it is through repentance that we are restored to friendship and fellowship with God. The Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7-9, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." We know that forgiveness is available to us as it was to David when we come to God in repentance. Forgiveness means to remove. And so what God does is he removes the burden and the guilt of sin that is associated with our sin. When we confess our sins to God with a heart that authentically seeks renewal, we will find it. That's why David says in Psalm 32, which we studied again 2 weeks ago, "Finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt and said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." Our third point this morning is a clean heart. So here we are at a point where we understand the severity of David's sin, the extent of his shame and his guilt for it. And now what David needs God to do is something that only God can do: make him into a new creation. What David is doing in these final verses that we are looking at today is he is asking God for something greater than what was there before. He's not asking for a fresh start so he can simply follow the commandments again. He's asking for a new nature, a new posture that's been completely rebuilt out of his brokenness. Various Bible scholars record that when David prayed, "Create in me a clean heart," he used the same Hebrew verb that was used in Genesis 1:1 for the creation of the world, emphasizing that the kind of radical restoration that he needed could only come from the Creator. David apparently knew the redirection of his desires and thoughts could only come through God's grace and his mercy alone. David wasn't looking for any kind of quick fix forgiveness where we ask God for forgiveness but then fall back into that same pattern of sin, because ultimately when that happens, we didn't truly seek repentance in the first place. David felt that it wasn't enough if God simply cleaned up the heart that he had. In this, David only wanted one of the great promises to all who believe that we can find in Ezekiel 36. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." This is a radical kind of transformation from someone who was brought to the end of himself because of his sin and wants complete newness of heart and posture that only God can give him. The actions of David didn't earn him this salvation. It wasn't good works that did this for him. David was forgiven not because of anything he did to earn forgiveness, but simply because he asked in faith. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, any person can ask God for forgiveness, or as David worded it in our text today, for a clean heart, and we will receive it. In spite of all that David did and all that we do, God is willing to forgive because Jesus paid the penalty for us. No matter what we have done, no matter what we think we are, no matter what you came in this morning burdened by or ashamed of, God can create within us a clean heart. All we need to do is simply ask in faith. Did David still have to face earthly fallout because of his sin? Absolutely. There are things people do that have a tremendous impact on the people around them. Sin like that often does. Pastor Shannon mentioned it 2 weeks ago, that our sin doesn't just affect us, but hurts those most close to us. David had to deal with the impact his sin had. Asking for a clean heart and a renewed spirit didn't take that away. There didn't take away the hurt or pain that those around him had because of his sin. Our past, our mistakes, our sin has likewise had or is currently having significant negative impact and hurt on those closest to us. Our decisions and our actions matter. And David prayed for this specifically in verse 8 of our text, where he compares the pain of his sin has caused and the fallout of it to broken bones. And he asks God to give him joy again. The impact that a broken bone has on the body can't be understated. I don't know if any of you have ever had a broken bone. I've had three myself in my life. My left wrist in grade 8, my right leg in grade 9, and a bone near my right elbow in college. And that might sound like I live a really exciting life, but trust me, they were broken in really lame ways. And honestly, I'm waiting for the fourth one to go eventually. But to this day, in my ankle especially, it continues to make cracking noises in the place where I broke it every time I take a step. I can barely walk anywhere quietly, and honestly, that's a skill I need as a parent of two under 4 years old who need to sleep at night. But the impact of the break is still felt today, 10 years after I broke it. Our sin leaves an immediate impact in its wake, but it's not the end of our story. It's never the end of our story. Forgiveness, restoration, a clean heart. All these things are given to us by God, and a right spirit helps us not fall back into that pattern of sin. David understands this, and he was confident that out of the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, that he could pray that it would lead to joy and gladness. That out of his brokenness, David would rejoice. And so for our application this morning, what we find here ultimately in this chapter of Psalms, beyond an integral moment in David's life and character, is an example for all of Israel at the time of writing and for us today as its readers on how to restore communion and fellowship and friendship with God. Sin creates a separation between us and God and deeply affects the friendship and fellowship that we have with him. But thankfully, never to the point that that relationship can't be restored. In David's brokenness, he cried out to God to forgive him. And I am thankful today to know that God always answers that prayer. When he answered David's prayer to create within him a clean heart and a loyal spirit, David then went on to have a deeper relationship with God than he had ever had before that moment. And we can learn a lot about true friendship from reading about God's interactions with people like David. God is a pursuer. He is a forgiver. God is holy, but wants face-to-face relationship with you and with me. He wants to be close to us and forgives us of our sin when we go to him with a heart that seeks to be restored. He forgives and doesn't hold our sin against us. That's the kind of friend we have in God. He shows us what true friendship and relationship with him looks like. The truth is, church, that we all sin. We have all sinned in the past. We will continue to struggle with sin in the days ahead. But the importance of calling out to God when we find ourselves at our lowest and most broken moments can't be understated. If you are a follower of Jesus, it is so important you realize that he does not condemn you. He does not condemn you. There is nothing you could do to make him love you any less. God is for you, not against you, and he will not abandon you. He is your advocate. That's why the writer of Hebrews gives us that encouragement in Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you fall, don't let shame keep you down. Whatever you have done, whatever sin weighs on your heart, you can get up and run into the arms of your Heavenly Father, and in his presence you will find freedom. Remember, it's the kindness and the friendship of God that leads us to repentance. Let his love wash over your heart. Live in wonder of everything he's done for you and has given to you in Jesus, and step into the freedom that he has purchased for you. To be human is to fail. To forgive is to cancel a debt that you are owed. And I'm glad that when we sin, God, again, writes it in the sand where the waves of forgiveness washes it away. And if God can forgive and continue to be friends with David, then surely he can do the same for you and for me, even in the midst of the things that we do that do grieve his heart. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of friendship with God. And I treasure the fact that I can go to him and confess my sin, and he will make me clean. In fact, I've made it a habit of mine to add verse 10 to 12 of Psalm 51 to my prayers, as I've always found it to be a beautiful expression of true repentance. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. How many of us today are thankful that we can have that kind of friend in God? You can have that kind of relationship with him today. I'd like to invite Jono back to the stage. Church, I'd like to invite us all this morning to find your restoration with God in the same way that David did in our text. Though we sin, there is an answer. Though we fall short, there is hope. And Jesus is that answer. He is that hope. The good news is that what is lacking in us, God covers through Jesus. We are a people in need of mercy, in need of a pure heart and a clear conscience. So in mercy, Jesus goes to the cross and in his death paid the price of our sin forever. In Jesus' death, we are given a pure heart, and in his resurrection, we are given a new life. And Jesus was the one who made it possible for sinners like us to approach God with nothing but a broken heart. Jesus gives us everything that we read David pray for God to give him. Jesus cleans our conscience and accepts us immediately, completely. So like David, we don't need to be afraid of going to God. Like he was with David, God desires friendship and relationship with us so deeply that he doesn't let us go. And we know by David's example that when we have sin in our lives, our conscience doesn't let us go. But what a friend we have in God who knows us, whose forgiveness is so great that he would still be my friend despite the fact that I continue to sin, that he would still be ours despite the fact that we continue to sin. That's what friendship with God looks like. He is the God who forgives. I want to invite you all to stand this morning. As Jono prepares to lead us in one last time of worship this morning, I encourage you to use this time available to you and cry out to God. Whatever you may have going on in your life, whatever you have done, whatever you may be burdened by or carrying with you, God wants you to bring it to him with an honest and humble heart that seeks repentance. You could be here today experiencing the fallout of sin in your life that has been kept hidden and is eating at you. Maybe you've been caught in a pattern of sin that you seemingly can't break free of. That constant shame and guilt that eats away at you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, it doesn't need to define your life or your relationship with God anymore. You can choose instead to give it over to God and be free. Why? Because we have a friend and a forgiver in God. Let's worship this morning.
And are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait, 'cause Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ
Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Come on, join me and we sing. And whoa, what a Savior, and isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Oh come to the altar, the Father's arms are open. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood. Oh, come to the altar, come to the altar, the Father's arm. Forgiveness was born, the precious blood, and oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Come on, sing. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before, for he is Lord. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. One more time. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. We bow. Bow down before, for he is Lord. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before, bow down before, for he is. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Thank you, Jesus. God, that we can stand here this morning and say how great you are. Yes. That we have a friend and a forgiver in you. That no matter what we may do, your arms are open wide. Jesus, I pray that the magnitude of your love, God, we never take that for granted. God, that we look to you continually for forgiveness and restoration. God, in the moments where we need you most, we come to you asking for a clean heart. Because you alone, Lord, are our Savior. Lord, this morning as we wrap up our service in prayer, we think of the prayer requests in our church. God, we lift up Phil Kehoe to you as his white blood cell count is back to normal, but God, there are still further treatments ahead. So we thank you and praise you for the work you are doing in his body, but we ask that you continue to heal him in the days to come. God, we also lift up Elfrida to you, Lord Jesus, who is going through tremendous amounts of pain. And Lord, I just pray for an improved quality of life at this time, Jesus. I thank you for her love for this church, for her love for you, Lord. And I ask that you intervene miraculously in her life. God, we also lift up Birdie White to you. And again, Lord, just a relief from the pain that she's been experiencing. And God, I pray that there's a quick track to surgery, Lord Jesus, and a quick rehabilitation following. God, in all things, we surrender our lives to you. You are good. You are loving. We put our trust in you today and in the days to come. And we pray this in your amazing name, Father. Amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week ahead, and we will see you next Sunday.